When the music fades, all is stripped away. I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that'll bless your heart.
I'll bring you more.
I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within than the way things appear. You're looking into my heart.
I'm coming back now.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
I'm coming back to the
Says, I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. You know, I was just standing there thinking of, have you ever noticed those moments when you come to somebody and you apologize to them and you're trying to get the words out and you're trying to get the right spirit and you want to make sure that the apology goes right and it gets across to the person. But have you ever noticed in those moments when we apologize to somebody that there's that, it's like a break. It's like a moment when you feel like it's gone. The things that we're holding were gone. And when you get out the words, God, forgive me, or you're saying to somebody else, forgive me for what I've done against you. And I'm really sorry for the pain I've caused. And in those moments that even the person receiving it, sometimes they don't even know what to say. But God is a listening ear. This morning as I was looking at those words, I'm sorry, Lord. And I think sometimes it's very difficult for us to apologize. Because when we've made those things and we've done all those things that we build all of our kingdoms, we build up all our walls and all the things that we do in this world, it's pretty hard to tear them down with one word that is saying, I'm sorry, Lord. But if you can do that this morning, just to apologize, Jesus. And say, God, I'm sorry for the things that I've made. I'm sorry, Lord, because I've messed up and I thought I could do it this way and I thought I could handle it all okay. But Lord, forgive me for not trusting in you. I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's all about
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just listen for the voice of the Master this morning. Just tune your spiritual ears into Him this morning and listen to what He's saying into your heart, our hearts, church. Hallelujah. Just listen to Him this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just talk to us this morning, Lord. God, just speak into our lives. God, forgive us for the busyness of all that we do, Lord, that we don't tune our ears towards you, that we don't listen for your voice, and we don't pay attention to you as often as we should. God, forgive us this morning, Lord, and help us to rekindle a fire, Lord. If the fire is dwindling down, Lord, I pray that the fire would just come back to where it should be in our lives. God, I thank you for the fire of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, the way you speak and you deal with us. Don't stop. Don't stop dealing with us, Holy Spirit. We need you. We need correction. We need reproving. We need direction. We need guidance. We need to have ears open. Tell us when we're doing something wrong. Tell us when we're doing something right. Help us, Holy Spirit, to walk this life for Jesus Christ, that we can display him so broadly to this world, Lord, that people would want the Jesus they see in us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are doing great and wonderful things in our lives, Lord. God, but we want more. We want more today. We want more of you, Lord God. We want to listen to a greater capacity. We want to dig deeper into your word today, Lord. We want to know in a greater way, Lord God, the things of what you have in store for us. So let deep call to deep today, Lord. Let spirit call to spirit. Let things happen today, Lord, of which you have already orchestrated and ordained to be, Lord. Let us just get out of your way, Holy Spirit, and go ahead and do what you need to do with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we love you so very much. We need you so very much. We need you, Lord. So God, this morning, thank you for these songs that have touched our heart, brought us to a place, caused us to embrace you again this morning, Lord. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the worship team. Thank you for the body of Christ as we sing together and worship together, and we sing in the bonds of the unity of the Father. And we thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that we have in you, Lord. We are so blessed. Thank you, God, this morning. As we open your word now, let the Holy Spirit guide us. I know, Lord, I've prepared, and I pray that the preparation that I've done is through the Holy Ghost. And that I pray, Lord God, that you would do some great and wondrous things here this morning like you've done in the past. God, we're anticipating, we're expecting this morning for you to do something powerful and amazing, Lord, that would just surprise us and bless us and take us to that place where you want us to be in you. So, God, we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for what's happened so far and what we're anticipating now in the remainder of the service. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 Praise God. God is good. How do you know that? No potato chips today, Louise. Sorry. Yes, I know. It's like when you come into church, where are they? You know. But we should be coming into church instead of looking for potato chips. We look for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Way to go, Bob. Join the platform again. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can hardly wait to just get more and more people up here on the platform to be able to worship and sing. Amen. And the platform down there, worship and sing. Amen. Well, this is our fourth Sunday where we're coming into Psalm 34. And I was just thinking all week, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper. I don't know if I've got it here with me, but I put it here, Sunday Testimonies. I wrote this down a while ago, and I want to give an opportunity because, you know, when the Word of God deals with us and speaks to us, I believe there's something that we need to hear and respond to. And when God blesses us in that Word, I think that we should give Him glory. And so I'm just going to ask if there's anybody here this morning over the last 3 weeks as we looked at Psalm 34. I mean, we've done some pretty good research here in some of the things that we see in Psalm 34, but maybe there's somebody here this morning. I just got something last week or the week before or whatever, and you want to say something about that? Amen. Wendy, come on up here, Wendy. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Make you work for a testimony. Amen.
Morning, everyone. I just like to thank the Lord for a Thursday. I went to see my doctor, and she gave me, she says, I'm as healthy as a horse. And I give all the glory to God. And She says all my test results were great, and I just thank God for give glory to God for my health. And I also I would like to give an update for Camden Manili, a little guy that had a heart problem since birth. He's doing fantastic. He's living every day for the Lord the best he can, and because he's only 8 and a half. And I just praise God for his health as well.
Amen. Praise God. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else? Something's happened over the last 2 or 3 weeks that in these messages that we've been speaking in Psalm 34, that God is doing something with you, showed you something, blessed you in something. Amen. Giving him glory. Jackie. I was waiting for her to raise her hand. Hallelujah. Yes, I sang that a couple of weeks ago. You want to sing it with me? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul shall make the invocation of mountain. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears.
Amen.
The reason I'd like to go say something, I've been going through a very rough time for quite a week, quite a while. I was stripped. And I went through a hard time, but through those years, those months, I've been praying, praising the Lord. Every moment that I have, I'm praising the Lord. And through this, I realized through the Holy Spirit, nothing happens by accident. If you don't, just like we say, the Christian is supposed to have problem, persecution, and everything else. It is in the Bible. All this, it is in the Bible. If you minister to someone and you've never been through yourself, there's no way you can understand them. Once you know and they put someone, the same problem that you've been through, you got nothing but compassion. And you'll do anything. I mean something like this, to soothe their pain, to pray for them, to ask you anything. Just like to put your love in action. I don't care what the cause is. What the cause is, you'll never understand. You'll never understand what the heart, but once you taste it, you got the heart of Jesus. And he's going to lead you by the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you the right word. He's going to read everything that person needs. So I praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I praise the Lord for anything, no matter how bad it is. I'll praise the Lord because he's got a purpose. And through this, he's molding in his image. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Good to have you here today, Jackie. Good to have you here today. Wonderful to have you here. Amen. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, Pierre, you're going in tomorrow you're going to get a bionic knee. And which one is it? Left? The right one. That's the one you're always stepping with first, right, when you go. You know, if you've ever gone out in the woods, like, you know, on fallen trees and everything, you'll understand that there's one knee that operates quickly and first, and all those, if you're ever in the bush and you're stepping over limbs, it's always the right one that goes first. You need the right knee, amen? At the end of the service, we're going to anoint you with oil, and we're going to pray, because you're going to go to the hospital tomorrow morning. We're going to pray that everything just goes the way Jesus wants it to go. Amen. So, and it will. Amen. We're going to believe that. We all have faith, but we stand with you, brother, as you're going through this. Amen. So at the end of the service, we're going to pray for you. I'll put the oil out here just so I won't forget, because we're getting old.
Amen. What's that? Don't say that. We're not getting old? Oh, okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you open your Bibles with me to Psalm 34 if you haven't already done so? And go ahead, Amanda. This is a special Sunday today. Hallelujah. Welcome to Wagon Train Sunday. How's that? Hee-haw! Wagon Train Sunday. I don't know if I'm a real connoisseur of John Wayne movies. I just love the old-time Western movies with John Wayne. Anybody else like John Wayne? Yeah. Well, you better watch out, Pilgrim, or you'll be pushing up daisies. You know how he would make those statements and, you know, kind of sashay across the floor, you know. I always watch John Wayne. He was a cool guy. In fact, Betty and I were sitting having coffee yesterday, and there was a big truck went by. It said John Wayne's Tree Service. And I thought, that was cool. I didn't know John Wayne had a tree service. Hallelujah. That was really neat. But anyway, you know, I like the old-time Westerns, you know, where the buckboards would be going from the east to the west, and they're heading out west. And of course, it seemed everybody headed west. The old term was, head west, young man, go west, young man. And so people would head west. And of course, they would attach themselves, wagons, like, you know, they would put all their possessions in one wagon. And you know, we've seen pictures of wagons with this kind of like a canopy or tarp over the top of them. They put all their worldly possessions in there, strap the horses to it, put the kids in the back, and mom and dad would sit on the front, dogs and whatever livestock they may have had would tag along behind the buckboard, and away they go. And they would meet up with other people, and as they go along, there's a whole bunch of people, and so they realize that they would get into a wagon train, and there was safety in a wagon train. And as they went out west, you know, when they stopped for a night, they would put themselves into a circle, and all the wagons would form a circle, and that way it was kind of in a way that for people to get through, it would be very difficult for the thieves to come through if there was any bandits in the area, or as I've got a picture up here, the cowboys and Indian movies we probably have seen as young kids or whatever, and so they would put it around there, and so they'd be in there with their rifles, pew, pew, picking off the Indians as they're going around there. I'm sure you've seen those movies, right? Amen. So this is Wagon Train Sunday, so welcome to Wagon Train Sunday. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to have a good rodeo today. I saw this in my commentary, my devotional commentary this week, and I just thought I'd put it up for you. Some reject Christ not because they know so little about him, but because they do not like the little they know. Isn't that true? Yeah, what they got in there, they don't like. He's convicting them, that's why. Praise God. So I'm going to just digress one verse from what we did last week, and we're going to go to Psalm 34, verse 7. Okay? If you're open there, I'm just going to read this one verse, and it says this: the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers him. Sounds like a circle of the wagon train, doesn't it? That was my mind as I read this verse. I got that. I guess it's because I got too much John Wayne in me or something. But anyway, that's what I saw when I read it. So, and I want you to understand that as I go through Psalm 34 and I take one of these verses out, they are all connected in this psalm. They are all connected. It's like a string of pearls as you read them. And I'm not treating each one as if they are all by themselves. But if you read Psalm 34, you'll realize that every verse that we read is connected with something else that's going on there. And they're all going through this. And I believe that God is going to do something as we connect all these dots in this picture. And we're going to see something wonderful. Amen? So anyway, I want you to understand, this is where David is. He's in a cave at Adullam. He's run from King Saul, who wanted to kill him. He's run from King Achish, who when David went into the place where the Philistines are, and he played a dope, an idiot, so he could get out of there. He started drooling over the place, clawing at the doors and the walls and everything else, and they thought he was David, but when they saw all the stuff that he went through to get kind of bypassed. They threw him out of the place. And they, so they ran for a place called a cave at Adullam. This is where Psalm 34 is written in this very instance of where he is in this cave. And 400 guys seem to want to attach themselves to David. 400 guys wanted to come along and say, David, we're with you. It doesn't matter. We were fighting for them. We were fighting for this king. We were fighting for this guy. But we want to attach ourselves to you. So, I think that sometimes we overlook some of the things that would happen. Like, can you imagine, like, for some of the guys here, when we get together for men's fellowship breakfast and we sit around a table and the, you know, all the talk that comes out about sports, about fishing and other things that happen and all that. I mean, that's our day and age. But can you imagine you get David in there, 400 guys. I mean, they didn't have hockey games back in those days. They may have had a little bit of fishing, but a different kind of fishing from you and I. But can you imagine these 400 guys, like what kind of a type of people they were in this cave and the things that were coming out of their mouth and the conversation and everything else? Can you imagine that God wanted to get into this cave and do something? I really believe that. I think that he wanted to do something in this very cave. And so, I mean, as you look at the Word of God and try to understand that these were 400 ragtag, wild, woolly, Western, you know, lasso guys carrying and everything else. They were just kind of wild people that were in this cave. And anybody can look at the Word of God and believe it, but accepting it is doing it something else altogether. And I believe that as you look and you and I look at the Word of God, we've got to start connecting all the dots, and it's like a wagon train, and it's going to be wonderful today. Amen? So this one verse says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Now, the New Living Translation says, for the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. The Amplified Version says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, who revere and worship him with awe, and each of them he delivers. There is a protection, a covering of the Lord. God is near to those who fear him. We talked about 2 weeks ago about the different types of fear. We can fear things. We can fear a surgery. We can fear whether we lose a job, or we can go through all those fears in life that we have, and they're very real fears. But between that fear of things of this world to the fear of the Lord, I would prefer having a good, healthy, holy fear of who God is. Amen? How about you? So I really believe that you and I need to hold on to a good fear like that, to hold on to Jesus. And I've just got these three translations up here, but I went to something else as well. I went to the Holman Christian Standard Bible, and it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. And the New English Translation says, the Lord's angel camps around the Lord's loyal followers and delivers them. The Living Bible says, for the angel of the Lord guards and rescues all who reverence him. Now, if you were looking at all these various translations and others in your spare study as you want to look at some of these things, some of the translations will take the angel of the Lord, that word angel, and put a small A on them. And if you look in the Amplified Version, it's got a capital A on it. Now, a big difference between a small A and a big A. I'd like to work on this morning with a capital A. Is that okay with you this morning? If I could work with a capital A, because if we look at an angel for the Lord, we could call him Michael or somebody else who is an angel. But if we put a capital A on this, we're looking in an entirely different way at this verse. So I'm going to look with a capital A. Now you're probably saying, Pastor, that's a capital idea. Right? Amen. I knew you were going to say that. But this, it makes this verse stand out. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers him. Amen. It makes it stand out in a greater way as you read this verse to understand the angel of the Lord. In other words, the angel of the Lord, as far as I can see, if it's a capital A there, it must be the Son of God. It's got to be deity. It must be the pre-incarnate Christ. It must be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And many times in the Old Testament, you will find a theophany. Anybody ever heard of the word theophany? Theophany is what? Somebody said yes here when I said, anybody heard the word theophany? Yes, a form of Jesus. Yes, a visible display before Jesus ever came into this world, born in the manger, like in as a God-man. But it's a theophany. It's something like, remember Abraham when he had those visitors of those three that came to him, and that was a theophany. It's an envisioning. It's a meeting. It's a placing of God in the Old Testament of coming to this world. Now, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody thinks that that's when Jesus started. That's not when Jesus started, okay? Jesus didn't start with Mary and being, she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not start there. In fact, God has always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I was just thinking yesterday, like back in the Old Testament, in the beginning, God, if you were to look in the Hebrew of that word God, it's Elohim. Now, Elohim is an interesting word. Now, when we were going through some interesting times back many years ago when we had a singing group in Ottawa, there was a bunch of us that wanted to get into the United Pentecostal Church, which is Jesus only, and others who of us were standing in the Trinity. We were Trinitarian stands, so we were getting in a real debate. One of the guys in our group decided that, you know, let's settle this. Let's call up a Jewish rabbi in Ottawa and find out what this word means. And so we called up this Jewish rabbi, and the rabbi, you know, is the one fellow in our group, spoke to him. He said, that, Rabbi, I've got a question for you about an Old Testament word, and it's in the beginning God. Could you explain to us what that word God is? And the rabbi says, you must be having some problems with Trinity. How they say it. You know, anyway, we asked them, what is this word? Like, we want to know the full context of what this word means, Elohim, because we're having some problems with people who are getting into the Jesus only, and we're Trinitarian. We want to find out. And he said, well, don't want to get too far into this because then I have to adopt myself to the Trinity. But I want to let you know that it's a pluralized word. It's the plural of God. It's not a singular Elohim. It's the plural. It's looking at the plurality. He says, I'm looking at everything that God does for us and all that. And so if you look at the beginning of the Bible, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the word was spoken, and the Spirit of God hovered, you'll realize that Elohim is the plurality of God in the Trinity. And it's really interesting. So I really believe that, you know, there's no start to Jesus. There's no start to the Father. There's no start to Holy Spirit. They've always been. They've always been here, always will be here. And that's fine with me. I accept that fact. I'm a Trinitarian. I believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you debate that, we can go into some Word of God, and I'll try and prove that you are not going the right way. But I just want to say that we believe that this is, in this verse, the angel of the Lord, and I'm going to take that concept with us today, that it's no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you look and you'll find theophanies in the Old Testament, that it's really interesting because Jesus came and he intervened in history, and many times, even before he came as the God-man, he intervened in many times in people's lives as a theophany, as the word spoken, the pre-incarnate Christ. He didn't start at the birth of the manger and all that. He has always been. And I want you to understand that. See, the Hebrew word for angel of the Lord is Malak, and there is a message that God wants to get us across. An angel is a messenger, somebody who's going to deliver something for you and I to understand and receive and to take to our hearts. And when we get a message, we take it and we grow thereby that message. Isn't that right? So there's, as you look in the Old Testament, when you get to the angel, whether it's small a or capital A, there's three concepts of this messenger in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. Number one, you could refer to a messenger as one person communicating to another person, like a prophet walks up to a person and communicates a message to them. He's a messenger to that person. Or a priest in the Old Testament, they would give a message to somebody. And so that messenger was like an angel, or that word Malak in that context. Could also be a supernatural being. Remember Daniel, when he was praying for an interpretation to his dreams, he prayed and he prayed, and after 21 days, Michael broke through and he brought the message to him. So it was a supernatural answer, and that's what happened in that very circumstance. But there's a third way of looking at this, because the thought is the angel is a theophany.
Many theologians speak to this fact as they look at this very verse. They believe that deity is attached to this one angel of the Lord in the term Malak, and it's considered the pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you get to that word encamps. The word is Hebrew chana, which means to bow down or to incline, to settle, to rest, or even to bow the head. Then you get to the Hebrew word of all around, encamps all around, which is an adverb. An adverb is a descriptive word to the verb, which is chana. And so the word around comes to the very fact that God is bowing down or inclining or settling down all around David. Can you see that very fact that here is the angel of the Lord encamps or settles down right on David, right in this cave, comes right down, bows down to that very place in that cave to be there with David in the circumstance that he is facing? Did you know that God comes and encamps all around you and I whenever we're going through things? When tomorrow in the hospital, God's going to bow right down there. He's going to camp all around you. He's going to bow right in that place, and he's going to just put a perimeter around Pierre in that very hospital. Amen? He's going to come and encamp all around you. Isn't that wonderful how God does these kinds of things? So it's kind of like, you know, back in the Old Testament when they built the tabernacle, they would put the wall up. It was like a perimeter going around them. And all through the Old Testament, you'll find different things that relate to this. In the Old Testament around the tabernacle, they were like a perimeter, all the camps around them, Levites and the Danites and all the people that were around them. So we are told the angel of the Lord is all around those who fear him, who fear him. So if we could look at verse 7 and come to this conclusion that God settles down on those who fear him and he puts a perimeter or a boundary around them. And so in this verse also, the angel Lord, and let's call him Jesus, okay? Let's get that settled once and for all as we're going to look at it that way with a capital A. Let's call him Jesus. He comes down in our lives and all of our doings and sets up boundaries around us. Thank God for the boundaries that God has around us. Thank God for the perimeter that God has around us. The angel of the Lord is mentioned only three times in the Psalms in this very respect. And you'll find the next part, and just if you were to flip your page, if you've got large, giant print version Bible, and that's all it is one page for me. But if you've got tiny print, it could be across the page or it could be anywhere in as you look at it. But you'll find in Psalm 35 the very same thing. Verse 5 and 6, it says, let them be like the chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord pursue them. So I personally believe that as you look at this verse, that the angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ. I believe that. You will not find this term, the angel of the Lord, in the New Testament, because the Lord is no longer an angel. He's the born Jesus into this world, resurrected Christ, sent the Holy Spirit to us. So he appeared in the Old Testament, an angel, but he is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We know him in the New Testament. We know him by name. His name is Jesus. So he does no longer be an angel of the Lord. And I found that many reject anything that smacks of Jesus Christ. Have you found that? And Jackie kind of shared this morning that some of the things that you and I go through, if we start relating Jesus to somebody around us, and it's the absolute center of all of our faith, the absolute center of all that you and I do is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our personal Savior, our one that we go to the Father through. But doubt for him as being the Savior of this world is gone on for some time. In fact, I think it's gone on for too long. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back, and that one day everybody will bow their knee and confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, Jesus in the New Testament, when he came and stood before so many of the people that he was talking to, and a lot of times it was the leaders of the synagogue, the people that should have accepted Jesus Christ, but they were the ones that actually went against him. And Jesus was having this interesting discussion in John chapter 8 with the Pharisees, and they just weren't buying it. As he was standing there telling them about the truth, about him being the Son of God, they weren't buying that Jesus was the Son of God. As a matter of fact, when you turn to John chapter 8, verse 56, it says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, said Jesus. And he saw it and he was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Is that what you're trying to tell us is really what they were saying to Jesus? Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." I like that. He said a fact, and he gave his name. Now, if you remember Moses, before he could even go back to the nation of Israel that was in slavery with Egypt, he said, "Well, who should I say sent me? What will I say is your name?" Like, you know, and God told him, "I am that I am." And here Jesus says the very same thing. Before Abraham was, I am. This is one of the most powerful, potentate statements spoken by Jesus. He said that he existed before Abraham was born. He undeniably proclaimed that he was the Son of the living God. And here these were people were eyeball to eyeball with the Lord Jesus Christ. These Pharisees looking right down at the Lord in this very moment. And they had either the gall to reject him or the blessing to receive him. And you know the story. They wanted to pick up some stones and to stone him because they felt that he was blaspheming because he claimed equality with God. But Jesus is God. He's the Son of the living God. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe it? I also believe it here in verse 34, verse 7, he is the angel of the Lord. Amen? This verse, David tells us that the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 gives us a picture of what God is to us. It says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And so when you look at this envisioning of Jesus encamping all around David and these guys in this cave and that he will come to those who fear him, it's really interesting. It's like the words from Matthew chapter 28 where Jesus said to the disciples when he was resurrected, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age." Amen? I'm with you always. Never leave you. I am going to encamp with you. I'm going to be with you everywhere you go. So David is absolutely convinced, or he wouldn't have written this down. He is absolutely convinced that the pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord, is with him, talking to him, being with him, and camping around him and protecting him, even in this cage. He believed that with all his heart, and he understood that we are never, ever left alone. We are never, ever left alone. Amen? And when each of us leaves church today, did you know that singly we will walk out of the church, we'll either walk home or we will get into our vehicles and we will drive home singly in our vehicles. And did you know that Jesus never leves us? Did you know that that same truth is we are here today in a wagon train style in church, all camped out here and wagon trains and being in church and all that. But when we leave here and we all get into our individual vehicles, Jesus is still with us and encamping around us. That's God. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen? I like what the Believer's Bible Commentary states about this. It says, "The angel of the Lord, that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, serves as an encircling garrison for those who fear him, delivering them from dangers seen and unseen." Hallelujah. So church is wagon train, right? Here we are. We're all camped out today. Yee-haw! All in our wagon train style. We're all here in church today, amen? The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Now, have you ever read in your Bible a verse and it triggers all these thoughts and directions and it kind of blesses you and as you read the verse and all of a sudden, like, as you read the Bible more and more in your life, all these verses come to you. Like it's, you know, I know that you can have the center column in your study Bible and it gives you the verses that would be referenced to that one verse that would be very similar or taken from that very verse. And it's nice to study that way. But I like it when you get the Bible so much into your heart that when you read something, it makes you think of something else. I like that. How about you? Do you like that? You know, and so when I was studying this verse and looking at it all, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, delivers him. I was thinking of the church, how God blesses us as a church and ministers to us a church, wagon train style or however you want to look at it. I believe that God is blessing us, but God was leading me to another verse in the New Testament that I believe is, if Not in your reference column, not in anything that you study here, but this is what I felt the Holy Spirit was doing in my heart as you look at this verse. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. Are you ready for this? Because this is a neat verse. If you remember when Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, he walked up to the disciples and said, you know, what's going on out there in the community? Like, what are people saying? Like, Jesus and his disciples were going everywhere. They were dealing with people's lives, and they were seeing healing and all kinds of powerful things that were happening around them. And so Jesus thought, you know, hey, let's just stop for a moment and get this right. What are they saying out there? Like, have you heard the word of what they're saying about me? And, of course, they all sat around. Well, Jesus, they're telling us that you're like a prophet, or you may even be like a John the Baptist risen back up. And they're saying you're a good teacher, like you're doing good stuff and all these things and all that. And as he was listening to all these comments, they hadn't hit the nail on the head yet. So Jesus looked at these disciples and said, but I want to hear from you. Who do you say I am? Do you remember that? Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of a living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And you remember what he said next? And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And as I was sitting reading Psalm 37, verse 34, verse 7, I couldn't help but feel this verse was so vital to understanding this. That this is what the church was back then. That the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, around all those who fear him. And it's almost like what Jesus was saying to Peter. You have the understanding. You've got the fear of the Lord in your heart. You've got the right concept. You're heading in the right direction. And Peter, because you said that, because you've got that in your heart right now, I'm telling you right now, you are the church. I'm going to build this church. I'm going to be with you in this church, and I'm going to get this church going. Peter, you're going to be a strength and a power to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever the church is going, I want to let you know I'm encamping around you, and the gates of Hades will never, ever prevail against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ because he's there with them. Amen? So I was getting that all along. It's kind of neat because, see, David says he encamps all around those that fear him. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Do you see any similarities here, or is it just me? Do you feel anything? Do you see any similarities? I hope that you do, because, you know, I'm going to be in a few days on holidays, so you can't take it up with me anyway. Praise God. Hallelujah. So My number will be gone. You can call my phone. Betty and I will be kingdom bound. So hope you get it. Amen. Hallelujah. But there's something about a gathering of worshipers. Now, you could call these 400 guys in this cave and David. I don't know if we could call them worshipers. I don't know what was going on there, but certainly the Lord was there in that cave with them. But I know for a fact that here we are this morning in church, and we are worshipers. Amen? We are worshipers. We worship him in spirit and in truth. We are worshipers. We are worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to let you know, when we have this fear of God, when we have this like what Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, when we have the confession of Jesus Christ in our heart, we have this fear of God, I really believe that there's a gathering of worshipers of like precious faith, like we sang that song of the unity this morning, where we gathered together in the bonds of unity. We have that like precious faith, and I really believe that God wants to do more and more, because he wants to fill these pews with worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's people outside, whether they come in from restaurants or sitting in a restaurant because some manager gets saved and the staff starts coming in here. I don't know. That's up to God how he wants to do it. I just believe that you and I are called to pray and wait, send letters, do all that we can, talk to our neighbors, reach out to people who are lost everywhere we can go, because I believe that God is calling worshipers to himself, those people who want to worship God. After all, you and I are his creation. You are made by God. Amen?
I know biologically you have a mother and father, but I want to let you know your heavenly Father knew you in your mother's womb. You were conception for him. You were in his very mind when you were born into this world. He loves you so very much. We are God's creation, and I believe that God's creation should be worshipers of the one who made us. Amen? Praise God. I don't know if we will ever. I sit down sometimes and I'm trying to understand what it means to have a relationship with God Almighty. Do you fully understand that? I can't understand how God Almighty, that made the universe, the stars, the moon, everything out there, this planet that you and I are so blessed to live on, God made this, and he wants to have a relationship with every person on planet Earth. I'm struggling to really understand that, but all I do is receive and say, God, you must love us a lot. You must love us a lot. And I think that you and I have got to give back some worship to him. I think that we've got to give back our praise and our adoration. All I know is that the creator of all this universe loves us so intimately and so fondly and so deeply that he would go to the greatest extent of sending his only begotten son into this world to rescue you and I. The angel of the Lord came. His name is Jesus. He came to a sin-sick world, and you and I are pretty sin-sick when we before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, can you imagine these 400 guys in this cave? Like, I'm trying to think of, you know, every one of us here today, like if we could just kind of go back in time before we got saved and we were sitting here today, what would it be like in this building? You know, what would the conversation be? Would there be any fistfights? What would happen here, you know, on the other side of the cross, if every one of us were sitting here and we were our old man or old woman, you know, the old life? That would be quite a place to be. I think we would all want to get out of here pretty fast. But here we are sitting. God saved us. God's purchased us. And we're sitting here as a body of Christ worshiping him. Isn't that wonderful? With all the baggage gone, you know, I'm so glad for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that he pulled up the wagon train and got us going into the wagon train. Amen? And as you read many of the Psalms written by David, his heart was overwhelmed by the power and the majesty and the greatness of God. Read the Psalms over and over. He was overwhelmed at the majestic ways of God and how he saw him and how he felt him and how he discussed things with his God. He gave him his beefs, but he gave him his praise and his worship. He gave everything to God, but he was overwhelmed time and time again. Just read the Psalms and you'll find that in the generosity of life, he just wanted to bless God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Amen? And David shows his gratitude, how to be thankful for what God does in our lives. And I believe he was grateful for the gathering of the people in that very cave that same way. And David was not only thankful privately, I believe that he was thankful publicly. You know, sometimes we can be pretty powerful in our closets, in our home. We can shout out and everything else, but I believe that we should get into church. Amen? We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're worshipers together. Hallelujah. I don't think he was ever ashamed to give glory to God. Amen? Are you ashamed to give glory to God? Are you ashamed to mention his name everywhere you go, or will you get his name out? I mean, he had no problem standing up in this cave. Just read chapter 37 again. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. This wasn't a whisper. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. He would shout it out. These guys needed to hear. I don't think he was ashamed. He had no problem standing up in the cave with all these 400 guys and began to praise and thank God for everything that was going on in his life. Hallelujah. To magnify the Lord is to proclaim his greatness, to exalt him and to lift him up and to raise him up. Amen? That's why Jesus said, and if I am lifted up from this earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. It's God saying, come on into the wagon train. Come on into the place where I want you to be. I want to encamp with you. I want to set a perimeter around you. It's like seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you and I. Amen? So make sure that Jesus is lifted up and worshipped. Hallelujah. But maybe while in this cave, David had some desires that he wanted to express.
Have you ever had feelings that you wanted to get Jesus across to somebody else? Not only to God, he wanted to express something, but I believe that he wanted to say something to these guys in this cave. I believe that, as we talked about it last week, taste and see that the Lord is good. I believe that David wanted to superimpose and bring some experiences to these guys in this cave. You know, when you get an experience, like we said last week, you want to give it away. You get something good in God, you want to give it away. God blesses you, why don't you tell somebody? That's what testimonies are all about, is to tell, this is what God's doing in my life. This is the wonderful thing that God has said to me in my life. This is what God has shown me in my life. When we read the Word of God, isn't it good to talk about Him? So I believe that David wanted to get those experiences of the power of God to come through into that cave, the very place where they were. But I also believe that David wanted to transfer what he received in God to others. He wanted to give it to others. And if these guys don't know God, if they don't want to praise Him, then I want to transfer that to them so that they will understand that you can praise God too. Isn't that wonderful how we can get that across to people around us? So church, wagon train style, or however you want to look at it, church is about lifting up God. Church is about lifting up God. We come into Him. Everything we do is about lifting Him. Everything about that we do in church is about showing us that we love You. We sing songs to You. We sing songs about You. We say a prayer about You, Jesus. We come in here. We preach a word around You. We want everything to lift You up, to exalt You, to bring You to the highest place in our life. Because somebody may come in here, doesn't know how to worship Him, doesn't know how to lift up God, doesn't know how to pray, doesn't know how to sing to God, doesn't know how to exalt Him. And so we come in here and we worship Him. I love when we come into church on Sunday morning and we're all coming in, we greet one another and we talk to one another, and all of a sudden that we get our worship team up here, and what a wonderful time it was this morning. I really enjoyed that. And they get up here and they start singing a song. And I liked it when we had some people up here actually doing some dancing and all that. That's really cool. You know, I like to see more come up here. And just, you know, where I get, I stand up here and I've got so much room to be able to do whatever I want. It'd be what nice one of these Sundays to come in here and I can't even move, Betty. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, when we come into church, hallelujah. I mean, church is about lifting up God and doing some blessings and having a great time. Because when we come into church and we start hearing the music, you know, sometimes it may only be one or two persons that begins to sing loud. Sometimes it may only be one or two persons that starts lifting their hand and praising God. Sometimes it may only be one or two persons that start singing with the voice of God to the voice of triumph and start lifting up the name of God. And somebody's coming into church that doesn't feel like lifting up God, and they come in here and they hear us lifting up God. They hear somebody lifting up God. They hear somebody praising and lifting up God. And all of a sudden, you know, it kind of is catchy. It's kind of like neat things when you come in and somebody else is swaying and you feel like swaying. Somebody else is, you know, got a smile on their face. You feel like smiling. Somebody else greets you. You feel like greeting. Somebody else begins to pray and you feel like praying. You know, it's just like the feelings that you brought into church with you are starting to roll out, because we are in this church lifting up the name of God. We're lifting up the name of God. We're increasing our faith in Him. We're saying something to Him. We're doing something around Him. We're singing songs around Him. So I think it's really great when we come into church, because I believe that as you read Psalm 34, you'll begin to see that David was lifting up the Lord. And I think that he was sensing that if you start doing this, it could cause everybody in this cave to do the same thing. Amen? And if you begin to lift up God in your life, no matter where you are, it could start causing other people around you to start doing the same thing. Amen? It's kind of catchy. Because, you know, the world out there, they always like to experiment with new things. Right? And so if they see somebody come in and you're going, praise Jesus, hallelujah, oh, glory to God and all that, what's that? Well, that's my worship talk. I just praise God for all the blessings. I mean, they haven't heard that before. They think you're crazy. But you'll be walking along, all of a sudden you'll find there's a shadow behind you. They want to listen to what you're saying. They want to hear how you're doing it. Because the world is interested in doing new things out there. But if we never say anything, if we never do anything, if we don't center our lives around God, they won't know.
How many times over my life, and perhaps your life, where you told somebody you're a Christian, they said, I didn't know you were a Christian. Ever heard that? We were pretty quiet, I guess. We need to make sure that people understand where we are, what street we live on, who is our Savior. God is our wonderful God. See, the point is this. The Lord supernaturally protects those who fear him. That's what God is saying. So go ahead and lift him up. Isn't it incredible to be in church today praising God? Isn't it wonderful to be at church? Hallelujah. I just think church is like a wagon train. Just look around for a moment. I know there's a lot of people who are on vacation. Look around. Look at somebody else's wagon. Amen. Isn't that cool? We're all here for the same reason, to give unto God the sacrifice of praise and worship and adoration. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. Wagon train, however you want to view it, however you want to look at it, thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. He's building it. He's not going to let the gates of Hades prevail against it. And it's his church. It's his building program. This is not a time in our life to push away the church. You know, I often hear some people talk, well, I wonder if we really need church today. And I hear all these things about the church, and I always say, be very careful what you say about the church, because it's his church and he's building it. And I read all the emails and the comments and the columns and everything else. Is the church still relevant in 2017? Oh, my. Somewhere did Jesus die of the second death and never come back and want to do anything with the church? Like, what kind of church do they believe in? I believe the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's building it. He's building it. He's not tearing it down. He's not throwing it out. He's not saying, let's try something different next year. He's got a church, and he's building it into our community, into our world. And thank God for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the church. Thank God that you and I are part of the church. It's not a time to think that I wonder if this church is relevant or not, or the day and age is gone. Maybe there's something different. Too many people are talking that way. Let's get our eyes back on what Jesus is doing, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's building his church. That's the body of Christ. The body of Christ is going somewhere. Amen? I like what D.L. Moody over 100 and some years ago wrote about the church. He said this: church attendance is as vital to a disciple as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood to a sick man. I like that. If we want a strong body, we have to be willing to minister to each other practically, lovingly, and supernaturally. We should long to receive these things and to place ourselves regularly in the church work and services so we can all do this. It's a powerful give and take that the Lord has designed. Wow. And of course, we all know and can quote Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some. Not thinking, well, maybe the church isn't relevant for today. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much the more. Jesus is coming back. Every time I look at the news, something else is coming in. This is totally flabbergasting and ridiculous. I can never understand the common sense of mankind has been thrown out the window. They just take whatever they want, however they want it, and forget about common sense. This world is in a deep rut, and it needs Jesus. And the church had better be alive. The church had better be going on. Amen. Would the worship team come, please? I think there's a lot of people in our communities that aren't too excited about church anymore. I believe that Jesus is absolutely thrilled about the church. He's excited about the church. It's his building program on planet Earth. It says reaching out into planet Earth. I believe that he is so thrilled about his church. He's excited that whenever those who fear him get camped out in church like a wagon train, he comes and just puts that perimeter around us. And he sees all the difficulties that you and I are going through. He sees all the circumstances that we're embedded in. But he's with us. Never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you need prayer today? Pierre, I've got my bottle here. Praise God. I know Pierre's going in the hospital tomorrow. He's going to have knee surgery. You don't have to be in that same predicament. Well, Pastor, I'm not going in for surgery, but you may be sick this morning. You may want something from God. Would you like to sit here, Pierre? Is you okay to stand? Okay to stand? Would some of the elders come forward, please? And maybe just as we pray for Pierre this morning, would you just extend your arm forward? We just believe that God is going to encamp around you tomorrow and be with you in the hospital. Hallelujah. Praise God. You fear him, so I understand that God is with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your word. We cling to the word.
Amen.
We follow the word. It's our substance. It's our sustenance. It's everything to us, Lord God. In this word this morning, Lord, the angel of the Lord encamps around us, those who fear him, and delivers them. Thank you, God. So I ask right now, Jesus, that you would be with Pierre. The surgery is scheduled. The doctors will be prepared tomorrow. Everything will be set. You've gone before him. Even though they're all set, heaven is all set. Heaven is all set. So we thank you, God, right now. We pray over Pierre, Lord God, that everything would go just wonderfully. And maybe even when they look at the knee, they may see something happening, Lord, where you are just touching his knee tomorrow, that the surgery would not be done by man's hands, but by Jesus' hands. And that something powerful would happen supernaturally, Lord God, not only to one knee, but I know both knees he needs to have done. So I pray right now, as we agree together at this altar, Lord, we pray the prayer of faith, and we're believing for ministering angels right now, the angel of the Lord who camps around us. We're believing for the power of God to come down upon Pierre right now, Lord. Hallelujah. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you'll be with him tomorrow as we lift him up in our prayers. The church is praying. And we thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do in his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Anybody else? Hallelujah.
I will call upon the Lord.
Come on, stand up.
He is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemy. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted.
Even though we've had a good time here, all circled around in our wagon train here this morning,
Time to pull that wagon out and head her home. But God goes with you. The angel of the Lord encamps around you because you fear him. Amen? And he delivers you. Yes. Oh, sure. We're kingdom bound. Yes, please.